Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit and one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Gosh, I'm getting really good on that kazoo. Thanks for joining me for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, what's woo, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world where we ask, why would anyone vote for World War III when instead you could have peace and prosperity? And why won't peeps accept that Camelot is dead? The few remaining knights of the Round Table now wear red, and it's more than obvious that Camilla has a chip inserted in her head, or maybe her arse. And, oh, Diddy, what did you do? And who did you do it to? Diddy, who did you diddle? Who paid the bill? That's the riddle. And the thing we find most urgent and pressing, did Diddy and Camilla do any coalescing? Because there's pictures of them together. You know, you can say, well, you know, all these people take pictures of each other, etc. But, you know, Camilla, the hyena bot cackling woman thing with the chip in her brain pretending to be a politician, you know, she has a bit of a reputation for, I'm not going to say loose knickers, but, you know, getting around back in her younger days with the big boys. Well, sweethearts, welcome to Metaphysical Martini. We never know what's going to happen on this show because I have no idea what's going on in the inner corridors of my mind at any given time. But as always, my darlings, we will try to do this show with as much dignity and decorum as can be mustered on any given day. And we are rarely successful, I'll admit to that. But we are honor bound to give it our best shot. And on this show, the Metaphysical Martini Show, we do love the odd shot now and then. Yes, we do. In fact, let me have a sip of today's drinky poo to see if it's a winner or a sinner. Hold on, darlings, don't go away. Sipping is happening. Oh, I have to say, that is a very elegant, very refined drink. Very flavorful, very, I'm not going to say feminine, men can drink this too, but it's definitely a lady's cocktail. Very nice. More about that later, because this is where the Holy Spirit meets top shelf distilled spirits, and what a wonderful combination that is. If you are joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. Be advised, this show is politically incorrect, because we do not wish to erode the intellect. No, we don't. Martini heads are spirit-centered patriots from all walks of life. What we have in common is an awareness of and a love for whatever you wish to call supreme cosmic intelligence, commonly known to mankind as God. Rather unceremonious title, but you know, there it is. We also share a love for America, knowing she has a sacred purpose on this earth to lead the world in spirit-centered humanism. And we are dedicated to the restoration of the American Republic and the utter and complete eradication of deep state ideology and the dismantling of its machinery. That's what we're all about. If that's not what you're all about, you're not going to enjoy the show, so go away, you know, do something else. But, you know, if you don't, if you're one of us, or if you're just interested in how other people think, what a concept. stick around. I don't care if you hate me. I don't care if you disagree with every single thing I say. It matters not to me. This can be an exercise for you. Can you entertain the notions of another without being triggered, without crashing, and without your head exploding? So, moving forward, Team Trump is the visible face of the White Hat movement. You know, those who wish to remove the Luciferians from power and reinstall decency, courtesy, common sense, and good health. And Team Trump will, in time, end the Federal Reserve, da-da-da-da, end the IRS, yippee-yippee, destroy the CDC, burn it to the ground, I say, reform the Department of Education, yes, very good idea, destroy the CIA, they do not need to exist. What else is he going to do? Now that RFK and, you know, Tulsi and all the good people are there, I think he's going to perform a colonoscopy and a polyps removal from the arse of the FBI. He's going to demand that all police officers honor the Constitution. He's going to release the January the 6th innocents and give them lots and lots and lots of lolly, lots of compensation money. And he's going to arrest and hopefully execute everyone involved in the pandemic depopulation agenda. In addition to that, and he's all going to do this on the first day, he's a very big man, he's going to completely overhaul Big Pharma and the undercurrent of evil that runs through the toxic healthcare system of the United States of America. And he's going to put all the government departments on a strict slimming diet. I'm on one myself, it's not fun. But he's also going to put the brakes on predatory lending and usury, and so much more. But first on the agenda, close the damn border and deport all the illegals, every single one. Because we know they were brought in to disrupt the elections. And we know the current puppet administration plans to let them vote to boost their numbers. This is high treason. It's not baby treason. This is high treason, and I want them held accountable, and I will not rest until they are held accountable. I jumped through hoops to become a citizen, and I made whatever sacrifice was needed, because American citizenship, it has value, because American principles have value, and America is important for the evolution of this planet. I did not become a citizen to sit back and watch these ne'er-do-wells, most of whom were brought in under false pretenses anyway, make a mockery of our values. And when I became a citizen, greatest day of my life, lovely day, really fabulous, I took a vow to take up arms in defense of my nation, despite my age, you know, if necessary. And I promise you, I will honor that vow to my last breath. I happen to be quite fond of the Second Amendment, and I happen to be quite fond of things that go pew, pew, pew. To all the bleeding hearts out there who say, oh, how wonderful, illegal aliens of which we know nothing about. How wonderful, we shall have more yummy ethnic food carts now. Oh, darlings, how bloody clueless can you be, really? We are a nation of immigrants. There is no blanket bias here. America has always welcomed immigrants, but use the front door, please, and let us know something about you. Would you open the door to your homes and let anyone come in? Help themselves to your stuff? Take your money? Diddle your children? Defecate on your front lawn? No, of course you bloody well wouldn't. America is our home. It's no different. So use the front door or you will be challenged. Interesting tidbit, I did a bit of research on this, but you know, many of the criminals brought in by the cackling hyena bots gang of miscreants were told that they would be well cared for until about November 15th this year. And at that time, their return trips to their own countries would be arranged. Hello? So the current administration brought in thugs to disrupt the elections. And once they are no longer useful, they will be shipped back. Now, that doesn't count for all the illegals, but it does prove the deep state's nefarious agenda. November 5 cannot come soon enough. That's election day here in America. I know back in England, that's Guy Fawkes Day, where you make an effigy of a Catholic who tried to burn down, blow up Parliament. And so you make an effigy of him and you stand on the street corner and ask people if they will give you a penny for the guy, because the guy's name was Guy Fawkes. And then you burn him. What fun. We're burning Catholics still. But anyway, here it's election day, and November the 5th cannot come soon enough, assuming we have an election that isn't sort of done by, you know, we don't have a military coup or something instead. I stopped remote viewing possible outcomes because it drove me crazy. It's a giant carousel of chaos, spinning round and round and giving us all vertigo. It will be what it will be. All I know is this. They, the bad guys, are not going down with a fight. They will fight to the last man, to the last woman, and to the last toenail. But so will we. So violence is inevitable at some point. I think we have to understand this. It's not going to be all over America all the time. Inner cities, bigger cities, not going to be much fun. Violence is inevitable. And the horrors that will be revealed to the American public, most of whom are not ready for, will create a massive spike in mental health issues. And it will create a significant spike in suicides. And we haven't even begun to see the longer term effects of the clot shot, the death shot, the fake vaccine. These evil bastards have polluted, nay, altered, distorted the human gene pool. There can be no mercy for them in this realm, in my opinion, but I am certain our military boys and girls will arrange a one-way trip for them to a place where mercy is assured. And I'm just going to do a little prayer here. Divine Creator, we seem to be having a little trouble down here when it comes to praying for our enemies. You see, they are trying to kill us, and that doesn't sit well with us, and we don't feel like wishing them well. And we can't quite find that graceful place inside of us. So if we send them back to you, please, would you take care of it? Oh, thank you, God, and 1,000 blessings. And of course, beastly sorry and all that. But we tried and we failed. Well, darlings, what have we got on today's show? I have no idea. We'll see how it unfolds. But we do have Quack, questions, answers, and comments. I think there's some poetry there. And of course, we are going to end with awesome American civics and history. And at the very, very end, I'm going to tell you all about this delightful ladies' cocktail that I'm sipping. And I'm going to continue sipping. Hang on. It's a little bubbly because it's a champagne one. So forgive me if I burp. Okay, moving on with the show, we have Quack right now, the meat of our show. So darlings, if you would like to share the magnificent morsels of your marbled minds with martini heads across the known universe, send your emails to me. And who am I? I'm Arnie at arnieavedisian.com, or you can do snail mail. To post, do a little postcard. Don't write me a PhD dissertation on the problems of your life, because chances are I won't get to it. But a little postcard is good. Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon, 97070, U.S. of A. And please remember to let me know if and how you wish to be identified, or I shall refer to you as omit personal details. Alrighty, let's shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity and see what pops out. Shaky, 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 shaky. Our first missive du jour comes from Jamie, who is in Andover, which I believe is in Massachusetts. And Jamie asks, I want to start on a formal spiritual path, one that is outside traditional macro religion. I am exploring all options and intend to try out a few sampler platters before I commit. Well done, Jamie. I understand, Jamie continues, that I am responsible for my own evolution. And I understand it will be a lifelong project, truths revealed to me as I expand my capacity to receive. And while I'm willing to do the work, no matter how long it takes, I would like to ask one question of you. I feel aggression building up inside me when I'm significantly triggered if someone, say at work, makes fun of me or insults me even as a joke. Do you have a tip that can stop that in its tracks? I do. Well, I mean, the first tip I could give you is you could buy yourself a Louisville Slugger and just bop anybody who annoys you. That'll probably make you feel good until they arrest you and take you away. Okay, so what we have here, Jamie in Andover, Massachusetts, where they all speak really funny, what we have here, darling, is an overly sensitive ego access point. I could say it's a hair trigger for your triggers. Your spiritual path, when you find it, will teach you that as a manifestation of divine consciousness, which you are incapable of feeling insulted. Think about that for just a minute. Insults are the domain of the false ego, the one that thinks only as a human and not in union with the higher self. So, Jamie, if you know it's a joke and you still choose to be triggered, then you must remind yourself that you are a grown man and not a toddler in diapers. Clearly, darling, there is a wound in there somewhere that puts you on the defensive. So, as you pursue your spiritual path, look out for it and get it sorted out, or you will spend the rest of your life wondering why all your relationships are so dysfunctional. And, okay, say it's not a joke, but someone really is insulting you, hoping to get a reaction from you. So what? Who cares? He's throwing words at you, words. Who the heck is he anyway, and why should you care what he says or does? People generally don't lash out unless they feel threatened in some way, or if they're generally weak in character and have some level of self-loathing, or if they have suffered abuse, you know, abuse, and lashing out is their trauma response. Joking around is one thing, but setting out to purposefully hurt another for no apparent reason, you know, it's not sane, so there's a problem there. There's something that's making you do it. You're covering something up. But you asked for a quick tip. Okay, I'll give you some quick tips. First, Jamie, learn to take a joke. You're a man, for heaven's sake. Men are always insulting and joking and smashing each other in the head and thinking it's funny. Learn to take a joke. And second, it's just words. You can choose to ignore them and simply walk away. Let them ramp it up if they want. Just continue to ignore them. And when aggression builds up, take a deep, long breath and ask yourself, why do I care what this person thinks or says? Why? Why am I reacting? Surely I have better things to do with my time. Jamie, darling, spirit sense is common sense. You're going to go on a spiritual path. Good for you. One must be soul still to hear God's will. If you find yourself insulted by casual comments, that's not you. That's your ego programming. That's insecurity. And that's self-loathing in action. But none of what I say will make any sense to you until you quiet your mind and go within to your inner divine space. And nobody wants to hear that because everybody wants a shortcut to bliss. There is no shortcut to bliss. There's persistence, diligence, focus, incense, and a little bit of hocus pocus. All right. Good luck, and let me know about your sampler platter. Let me know. Drop me a line. See what resonates with you and why. I'd be interested. You know, just drop me a line once in a while. All right, let's take another email, and this is from Nisa, N-A-S-S-A, in Stockton, California, and she says, this is a very long letter of which I'm only going to read a short part. Dear Ani, I have read every New Age book ever written. Almost, and tried 100 mantras and foot positions and hand positions and 100 affirmations and learned three types of energy work and focused on my navel as the center of the world while eliminating negative thoughts through my rear end. But I have to say, none of it works right. And by that, I mean either something key is missing from metaphysical teachings or I am not as bright as I thought I was. But that said, I'm not the only one in my group who feels this way. Oh, let me have a sip of champagne here. Hang on. Oh, lovely. And she writes much more, but it's not pertinent to the show. So, Nissa, you say metaphysical teachings, but you mention only New Age. So I will continue under the assumption that you have not gone beyond that into antiquity or whatever. So New Age literature is, for the most part, fleshed out cliff notes, and that may serve some people well for some time. But if we're looking for real growth, we have to get off the highway and we have to take the back roads. And that's what you have to do, because clearly you want more than just the hot spots. And I applaud you for that. I'll tell you why it doesn't work, why it isn't enough for the serious cosmic space adventurer. It doesn't talk much about the laborious process of making a cake. It talks about icing the cake and putting the cherry on the top of the cake. But the baker makes the cake, the decorator ices it. Where's all the work? Most New Age materials, not all but most, show you the finished product and not the years of focused contemplation it takes to get there. If we want to go from tragic to magic, we first and foremost need to have a come to Jesus meeting with ourselves. And that's just a phrase. Jesus doesn't have to be involved, but a come to Jesus meeting implies that you are talking to your Christ consciousness, your higher self. So a part of Jesus will be there, of course. Why do I have to explain all these things? I don't really, do I? No, I don't. Okay, move along, Arnie. We must make a commitment never to hide from ourselves, to always be honest with ourselves. And we must make a commitment never to internalize, but to process our emotions as they present themselves. The sooner, the better. Why, Arnie? Because we want full access to our subconscious mind. That's why. Now think about this. After years of indoctrination, distraction, terror tactics, and other types of manipulation, the human mind has become weak, feeble, confused. And the subconscious mind does not serve us well, because we have accepted multiple contradictions in our lives due to being traumatized by the darker elements of the establishment. I'll give you an example, and this is one that I shared with my group as we were discussing the philosopher George Ivanovich Gurdjieff, the Armenian-Greek guy, who went to the Near East and Far East and brought back all this wisdom and tried to put it into some sort of palatable form for the Western mind. He was often asked why affirmations don't work. And his response is not word for word, because I wasn't there, because I think he died in 49 and I'm not that old. But his response would be something like this. The reason they don't work for us is because deep down, we feel that universal law is fundamentally flawed, which it is not. Most humans have a habit of blaming circumstances or other people for their misfortunes. But they're also very good at taking the credit when good fortune comes their way. So how could they believe in such a law, as in, for example, the law of attraction, if subconsciously they believe that the level of their awareness has no impact on their daily lives? The law is neutral. It applies to everyone equally. But our subconscious believes otherwise. If you get credit for the good, but the bad is not your fault, you are saying that the law is flawed and no affirmation or modality will work for you. It's very obvious, isn't it, when it's pointed out? But it's one of these things that's missing, because the New Age stuff doesn't go deep enough into teaching us how to think about these things. That's why we need to be comfortable in our own skin and get to know ourselves and love and respect ourselves first. It will correct the errors in our programming and we will become clear channels for higher thought. Oh, that's what we want, higher thought. So Nissa, stop reading books. Focus on your oneness with all that is. And here's a thought. You were created from light, and to light you will return. Why should the physical experience not reflect that? In other words, you are already there. You're already perfect. You are already as God created you. You are as perfect as the moment of your creation. Meditation and prayerful contemplation will remove the blocks your ego has placed, and you will feel the thrill of cosmic connection. And then and only then will universal law make sense. And only then will you go with the flow and use it to your advantage. Because unless you see that self-realization is in your future and you are well on the path to that, nothing is going to work for you because you are not attuned to the correct divine frequency. Cosmic frequency, whatever. So there we are. I think that deserves a little toot. And hello, George Gurdjieff in heaven, wherever you are. Very colorful fellow he was. He wasn't your usual monkish kind of shaman type. No, he loved a good party. He loved a drinky poo, and he probably loved the ladies quite a bit. All right, moving on. This email, this next one that I'm pulling out, is from a chap called Theo, who I think we've heard from before, but it's also possible that there's more than one Theo on the planet. This one is currently on sabbatical in Curitiba, which is a town in Brazil, you know, where the nuts come from. And he says, "Dear Arnie, Harris says crime is down in the USA. Do you agree?" No, I don't agree. Crime is not down in the USA, quite the contrary. But the cackling hyena bots gang of establishment useful idiots refuse to prosecute crime. So on paper, it might seem like it's down, but it's not. It's up. You see, that's the reason they let people shoplift in California, for example, you know, with no consequences. In addition to skewing the statistics, it also makes life near impossible for small business owners if they cannot protect their assets and, in some cases, their lives. It's all part of a bigger globalist plan for smashing the working and middle classes in favor of slaves and master. That's the new game they want to play, slaves and master. Well, I'm sorry, darling, but we may not be too awake here on planet Earth, but we're not that kinky. We're not going to go for that. Now think about it. You know, it's really obvious what this administration is trying to do. Their lies have become so ridiculous. I think maybe even a seven-year-old could figure it out. If I had a shop and someone came in brandishing any type of weapon, threatening grievous bodily harm if I interfered with their right to a shoplifting fest, and if I knew the police would not protect me, I would invite them into my back room and lock the door. I'm not going to share what I might do after I lock the door because I believe in individualized assessment. That's very important. But I know this much. People will treat you the way you allow them to treat you. And if you object to being mistreated, stand up, America, and do something about it. And thank you, Theo, who is currently on sabbatical in Curitiba, Brazil, where the nuts come from, for bringing this to my attention, because it's another pet peeve of mine. Okay, I'm just going to breathe the pet peeves out of my being. Begone, pet peeves, begone. Have a sip of the champagne cocktail. Not a traditional champagne cocktail, a really rather lovely champagne cocktail. Okay, a quick toot. This next one is from Jordan, and I don't know where, because it doesn't say, but Jordan says, "What's going on with Alex Jones? I thought they crushed him, but there he is, bouncing up and down like a little bouncy castle." Everywhere you go, he's still there. Alex Jones, talking, ranting, laughing, screaming. They did not crush him. I'm glad. But what's going on? Well, Jordan, good question. Many people are big fans of Alex Jones, myself included. It turns out, I guess he's uncrushable. Uncrushable, that's him. The uncrushable Jones, that's what we'll call him. I believe a judge recently ordered his company, InfoWars, to be sold or auctioned off so he can pay the $1.5 billion settlement. You know, that so pisses me off. He apologized 1,000 times or more for his Sandy Hook comments. But because he touched an establishment raw nerve, namely that pretty much all mass shootings are done by people groomed by the establishment, they went for him like a shark goes after a fresh bucket of chum. How many mistakes or purposeful manipulations has the state-sanctioned mainstream media broadcast over the years? Hundreds, if not thousands, each year. And do they have to pay reparations? No. Alex Jones did not pull the trigger at Sandy Hook. He did not kill children. So why is he paying damages to the families of the victims? That is effed up, people, as we say back home. That is effed up. You know, because his words offended families, his words offended people, 1.5 billion, because they were a bit miffed by his rants. Media-sanctioned news pays nothing. State-sanctioned news, the media. Let's just not call it fake news anymore. Let's just call it state-sanctioned news propaganda. They pay nothing. If Alex wasn't onto their nefarious little agendas, they wouldn't give him the time of day. They wouldn't give him the time of day. No, they wouldn't. But because his mission is to expose and destroy Deep State, they want to finish him. But darlings, you can kill a man if it comes to that. But you can't quell an idea, and especially one that Creator favors. And Creator favors the idea of sovereignty. Folks, if you are not absolutely vomitously disgusted by this two-tier system of justice, this lawfare, as we call it now, you're not paying attention to what's going on around you, because it will be your turn next. Another email? Let's do it, Arnie. Stop doing that. That's annoying. Another email. And this also is from Omit Personal Details. Omit Personal Details, who says, I have heard you talk on many occasions, and I'll give you this. You are a good speaker, articulate, and quite funny. Thank you. Your tone is generally light, and this helps to process some of the weirder ideas you present. I want to talk to you about your concept of spirit-centered humanism. I understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to create a world where God reigns supreme, and people cannot be divided by their religion. I get that, but I believe it asks a lot of people. The concept of one with God is difficult to grasp when we see the crazy things happening all around us. And Omit goes on to say, and this is quite a long letter, I need Jesus in my life. I need God, but I need the God of the Bible. I need to feel secure. I need the comfort Jesus gives me in a wayward world. I don't think I'll be joining you for any more talks because you're taking my faith away from me. I know you see it as a liberation, but for me, unless I can touch the cross on my neck and talk to Jesus daily, I am lost. Jesus is my rock. I cannot live without him, not for one minute. Darling, it's okay. Really, it is okay, and there's a lot of it about, and it's genuinely okay. First of all, I don't have the power to take your faith away from you or anything away from you. You have to allow it. I think what's happened here is that my ideas triggered your ego, and it made you uncomfortable. I will say that Jesus did not come down to teach you to depend on him. He came down to teach us to pray directly to the Father, for you and the Father are one. He wanted us to create a world from which no escape was necessary. We have not done that yet. And so what's the point on relying on Jesus, using him as your crutch, while living in a world that is the exact opposite of what he preached? Let's put it another way. Okay. You say you need to touch your cross, okay, and to talk to Jesus daily. Okay. By the way, I happen to have great reverence for the man. You know, we call him Emmanuel, but it's the same soul. And here is a trigger warning alarm level 3. Get ready. Okay. Now, here's my notion for you to entertain. If we replace the word cross for syringe and the word heroin for Jesus, how does that change the flavor? I need to touch my syringe daily. I need my dose of heroin daily. Okay, take a moment with it while I sip my champagne cocktail. Oh my God, that is absolutely a divine cocktail. So peeps now are saying, how can you compare Jesus to heroin? What's the matter with you, you stupid woman? My comments have nothing to do with Jesus or heroin. My comments relate to your current level of insecurity and your addiction to your crutch, your biblical brace, if you will. I know a great many drug addicts, because I'm a counselor, who, having gone clean, have replaced one addiction with another. And we could say, but isn't Jesus better than heroin? Should we answer that? Well, of course, but it's a stepping stone away from a life-threatening chemical addiction, but it's a short-term plan, something we use while we catch our breath. It's a short-term plan because the idea of Jesus also creates chemicals in our heads and our bodies. Now, heroin addicts usually die from an overdose, and that's the end of that. Jesus addicts or Muhammad addicts or Krishna addicts or spaghetti monster addicts can be conned into fighting in so-called holy wars because their fix is under threat. I'm not mocking. I'm trying to be as calm and objective and humorous as possible here because I'm trying to make a very important point. If you truly have a functional relationship with Jesus, el hombre de luz, and not the establishment's version, you know, which is the flag bearer of eternal conflict, then you wouldn't be triggered, nor would you be so needy and so insecure. I invite you to step into your glory and be your own church. Let yourself be the living representative of God on earth. That requires you to step away from codependency, need, and step into a glorious space adventure where you carry within you the embodiment of all that is, all that was, and all that ever shall be. Just think about it. I'm not taking Jesus away from anyone. Who the heck am I to do that? And he was a terrific teacher whose teachings were not properly recorded in the book that calls itself the Bible. I think Jesus rocks, Emmanuel rocks. But have a think about your need for him. Because need is lack and limitation and small-mindedness and insecurity and fear, all the things that keep us from the kingdom of the Father. Okay, let's take one more question before we move on to poetry and some awesome American civics and history. So I definitely want to get all that in. This one is from Soren from Minneapolis, who asks, according to the law of attraction, we shouldn't join cancer support groups because it focuses on cancer, the thing we are trying to overcome. My question is this, how do we get support if we can't join a support group? Oh, that's actually a really good question, Soren, in Minneapolis. It's a very good question. And the answer is easy. It's easy. Find out if your cancer support group is a pity fest or a bunch of people with an end game of recovery and rebirth. Ta-da! And that's it for Quack today. Thanks to all the martini heads for writing in and sharing their woes and their ideas and all of that. This show, darlings, was created for you, you the people. We want to know what goes on in your heads as we travel together through the murky waters of establishment swamp juice into a clear, brighter realm where things make sense. A place with no gender-affirming butchery, no IRS, and no Karens or Brads, and certainly no Joes or Kamalas. And now it's time for a tiny pact of poetry. Yes, folks. After a hard day's shamaning, I like nothing better than coming home, putting my feet up, having a nice cup of tea or a small drinky poo, and writing really bad, but occasionally brilliant, non-peer-reviewed poetry, because, darlings, my poetry has no peer. It cannot be peer-reviewed. Now, this one is a work in progress. It's actually lyrics to a song, but I'll need an actual musician to help me turn it into something. But here is the bare bones lyrics for my P. Diddy Did the Diddle song. And for the first time ever on planet Earth, Cosmic Arnie's P. Diddy Depraved Committee song. Please ignore the English accent. I know it is not the right sound for such a song, especially if it's going to be kind of boppy and hip-hoppy and maybe sung and narrated at the same time. But it's the only accent I've got, and I promise, I will hire an American artist to record it when the time comes, if the time comes. Fair warning, it's not pretty, because it's about P. Diddy. So I think this is going to be the chorus, and the chorus goes along like this, like, what did Diddy do and with who? The numbers are crazy, but is his memory hazy? I think Diddy doesn't smell as fresh as a daisy. Oh, Diddy, who did you diddle? And who's behind it? That's the riddle. And now we have the verses. Oh, Diddy, what did you do? You had so many sex bots, they had to form a queue. Oh, Diddy, I know what they promised you, but your boss lost and now the gang has come for you. And this much I know is true. Whatever they pledged, they just pushed off the ledge. There will be no rescue team. Your demise will be live streamed. When you take the devil's money and touch the devil's toys, you're gonna lose your cred. You're gonna lose your poise. And the ones who gave you fame won't make any noise. And so you got to put the chorus back in there. Oh, Diddy, what did you do? You know, da 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 da. And he goes, you took little children, you took girls and boys, so much innocence destroyed, so much evil deployed. You think you're a stud, but you became the devil's dud the moment you drank that young boy's blood. What did Diddy do and with who? The numbers are crazy, but is his memory hazy? I think that Diddy doesn't smell as fresh as a daisy. Oh, Diddy, who did you diddle? And who's behind it? That's the riddle. And that probably sounded like a whole bunch of rubbish, but with a good musician and a good drum beat, that could turn into something. And while Diddy was being processed, the United Nations, the organization that is the umbrella for all global tyranny, made moves to turn the entire planet into a medical dictatorship. And to that I say, come on, the white hats, let's blow this up already. Putin's waiting. The eagle and the bear must work together for world peace and eternal prosperity. And now, my darlings, segue. It is time for awesome American civics. Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Today, we will discuss Jural Assembly, and that's spelled J-U-R-A-L, Assembly. And I want to thank the Oregon General Jural Assembly for this information. You have a Jural Assembly in your state. I think there's 38 or 39 states that have them. And the principles, of course, are the same because we are all Americans. So go ahead and look up and see if your state has a general Jural Assembly. So this is directly from the Oregon website. Their mission is to return Oregon to a constitutional government. Huzzah, I support that. A government of the people, by the people, for the people. Just as our founding fathers intended and provided for. And this is called a de jure government. De jure, of the people by right. And it's the template, it's the model that was created for the Republic of the United States of America. You know, a general Jural Assembly. Now, on November the 12th, 2022, well, actually, let me go back a little bit. The first National Assembly, in which delegates from each colony convened, took place in Jamestown, July 30th, 1619. Now, fast forward, on November the 12th, 2022, patriots in Oregon assembled together and the Oregon General Jural Assembly was formed. And this is granted to us by our First Amendment right, which states that it is the right of the people to peaceably assemble. Presently, Oregon counties are forming petite jural assemblies, in order that all people in the state are represented. And upon completion of this final task, all the people in Oregon will have true de jure government representation, and the unlawful de facto government of the bankrupt U.S. corporation can be removed. The same action is taking place in many states across the country. So de jure general jural assemblies and petite jural assemblies, which are the county level ones, are groups of patriots that have a heart and intent to bring our state and our country back to a system of divine law governance and constitutional law governance. My favorite words, constitutional law governance, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, in accordance with the Declaration of Independence. And we are doing this lawfully by forming county and state general jural assemblies. So you didn't know the United States was a corporation? You should know that the United States was a corporation. The general jural assemblies were established in the founding of our country as the checks and balances for elected officials and government departments until the de facto government usurped their power in 1871. Do tell us what happened in 1871. I will. The United States became a corporation with a new constitution and a new corporate government. And the original constitutional government was vacated to become dormant, but it was never terminated. The new constitution then had to be ratified by the people according to the original constitution, but it never was. The whole process occurred behind closed doors. Naughty, naughty. On the 14th of October 2020, the United States Corporation Company filed bankruptcy, Chapter 11. And this case was filed in the U.S. Bankruptcy Courts, Florida, Northern Florida somewhere. Yeah. Now, people, through generations, the de facto government took over all government positions and power. They did a sweep. The de jure government, though, did not go away. It just vacated its authority and its seats of government. The people must assemble to accept the power of the people, by the people, for the people. This requires the people. Am I not fond in saying, stop delegating your salvation? Stop thinking, oh, there'll be enough people out there voting, or there'll be enough people doing this and that and the other. I can just sit home and know that God will take care of everything. You are God's representative on earth. Move your asses, America. We have to do this. The Supreme Court has stated the de jure government offices still exist, but the people have failed to occupy them. And this fact was made clear by Supreme Court decision in 1901. That was Downs versus Bidwell. Once 38 states have assembled, then our republic is restored. Oregon has assembled, and now we're encouraging everybody else to assemble. The original United States was in operation until 1860, and it operated as a collection of sovereign republics in the Union. Under the original Constitution, the states controlled the federal government. The federal government did not control the states. The federal government had very little authority. The original United States has been usurped by a separate and different United States, which was formed in 1871, which only controls the District of Columbia and its territories, and which is actually a corporation, the United States Corporation, that acts as our current government. The United States Corporation operates under corporate, commercial, public law rather than common private law. We need to learn some of these terms, class. Let's do that. De jure, two words, D-E, second word, J-U-R-E. De jure means existing by right or according to law, original, lawful. Common law operates under de jure terms. And what does de facto mean? In practice, but not necessarily ordained by law. In fact, or in reality. Corporate law operates under de facto terms. Sovereign, big word, a real person. Sovereigns can own property. According to the original Constitution, all government comes from the sovereign individual. Without the sovereign individual, There is no government. What is the smallest minority? The individual. And what is the definition of a US citizen or subject? A corporate fictitious entity that merely represents the real person. It acts as a straw man. To call oneself a sovereign citizen or sovereign subject is an oxymoron, since sovereign and citizen subject are mutually exclusive of each other. When asked if you're a US citizen on corporate legal documents, if you check yes, you agree to the terms of corporate law and unknowingly relinquish your sovereign status and transfer all your rights to the United States Corporation, since you are now under contract. So is a corporation human? Well, we would say, actually, a corporation is a non-human fictitious entity. Corporate fictitious entities are denoted in all caps. This includes the names of citizens and subjects. Your fictitious straw man entity is addressed in all caps. Rather, you know, John Smith, for example, all caps, rather than John Smith, where the J and the S are the only caps. Do we know what common law is? I have my own things on this, but I'm going with this because this makes so much sense. Common law is God's law. Common law and the system of de jure juries apply to sovereigns in disputes. In common law, contracts must be entered into knowingly, voluntarily, and intentionally. None of this sneaky, sneaky behind the scenes stuff. I think a great many people are also not aware of what admiralty in maritime law, international law, is. It is the king's law. It deals with criminal acts that only apply to international contracts. And under this law, the people are no longer sovereign. There's this thing called the Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, that the United States practices is based on admiralty law. So apparently under Uniform Commercial Code, contracts do not have to be entered into knowingly. Simply, you know, just simple agreements can be binding. And as long as you exercise the benefits of that agreement, you must meet the obligations associated with those benefits. If you accept the benefit offered by the government, then you must follow to the letter each and every statute involved with that benefit. And that benefit is the Federal Reserve notes, the US dollars. By paying for things with the US dollars, you are unknowingly giving up all of your constitutional rights and are legally obligated to follow all of the UCC statutes. But you were never told this, you see. You were never told this. People, darlings, please find out if your state has a general jural assembly. I know it's not easy to say. Find out and then go and check them out. And if you are new to all things government, you will learn a great deal about political history, and I cannot stress how important it is to have multiple active grassroots organizations going all the time, because the establishment can walk on the grass all it wants, but if we keep watering the grass keeps growing, and they are few. And we are legion. We the people are legion, not the forces of Lucifer. We the people are legion, and if we organize and commit, we are unstoppable. And we will honor America's sacred purpose to teach the world the meaning of sovereignty, to destroy the deep state for once and for all, and to support one another as we create that new golden age. Sovereignty, my favorite word. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. So if we want government for the people, of the people, by the people, 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 the people have to understand that the word government means regulation and control. And good government begins with ourselves. If we learn to regulate and control our own thoughts and acts, we shall be fitted to help govern others. The first duty of the citizen is private and consists in learning to govern itself. The next duty is public. It consists partly in voting for good laws and good officers, and in sustaining the officers while they execute the laws. The simplest form of civil government is illustrated by the concept of the town meeting. This is an assembly of all the voters of a town. They come together, they discuss the business of the town, they enact the town's laws. Now, such a government is a democracy. But a republican government is one in which laws are made by representatives chosen by those having a right to vote. A state legislature or a city council illustrates such a government. The government to which we should give most attention after the governing of ourselves is that of the community in which we live. And we should learn not only its present form and method of operation, but the history of its development from the beginning. Over the past several years, there has been a great and powerful movement by patriots and others to take back our inalienable rights. I know people say pronounce it unalienable. You can. I've just pronounced it inalienable. It's fine. Do what you want. You're a sovereign being. It's a free country. Don't let anyone tell you how to pronounce words. This means no one can take these things from us. No one can take these rights from us. Inalienable means that. They're God-given. Governments can't issue them and they can't take them away. To stand up, the Republic once again, and dissolve the US corporation. That's what we're trying to do. To stand up, to save the Republic, restore it, dissolve the US corporation, rid ourselves of the banking cartels who run the central banking wars for their profit. We need to get involved. So those are my final words, I think, to you all this evening, is please, if you don't want to do it through this, de jure organization, please find other grouse are good, they're quite tasty, other grassroots movements out there that support the restoration of the Republic through teaching the Constitution. Well, my darlings, let me take another sip of my drinky poo. And let me thank the Oregon General Assembly, Jural Assembly, for that information that was kindly provided for us on their website. I'm actually going to be on a Zoom call with them tonight, and I'm going to attend one of their potlucks. So it's time for me to get involved in the nitty-gritty of politics, darling. We need more spirit-centered humanists in that arena. I think that's it. Oh my God, I have finished my champagne. And that always means the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed listening in as much as I enjoyed recording it, because I had a blast, I always do. Today's real life cocktail was, oh wait for it, a champagne sidecar. And it's my last summer huzzah here in Oregon before the crisp of autumn kisses the air and freezes my ass off. One day I will live somewhere warm with a nice sandy beach and a sea that I can swim in that won't kill me, like the Oregon Pacific Ocean tries to eat me up with riptides and all. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with anything. And back to the show, back to the cocktail. Here's how you make the champagne sidecar. 1.5 ounces of brandy, 3/4 of an ounce of Cointreau, 3/4 of an ounce of fresh lemon juice Meyer, if you can find it, champagne for topping up, and a lemon twisty poo for dressing. Add the brandy, Cointreau, and the lemon juice to a shaker filled with cracked ice, shaky really well, and strain into a chilled champagne flute. Yummy. Top it with champers and dress it with a twist. Enjoy. It's delicious. It's lovely. I'm going to have it. I've had it. Should I have another one? Should I not? No, I'm not going to, because remember, folks, cocktails are great if they're an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. I'm Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, 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 I love you. And a big thank you to mysticalwares.com for financing the intergalactic distribution of this cosmically renowned show. Mysticalwares.com. Online or on location in Mount Vernon, Washington, you'll be sure to give them a standing ovation. Until we meet again, from Delaware to Djibouti, be kind to your booty. Stay centered, stay strong, remain vigilant. Do not delegate your salvation to others. And we do all this best, my darlings, when we let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.